Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We ask that you guide us and watch over us as we conduct the city and the airport business. Lord, we just ask that we do everything in your name. I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
No call.
Okay.
Just back on track.
Terry Crawford, Randy Clank, Andy, Chuck Savage, Gary Walden, we have the form.
Okay, all right, consideration of the minutes of our prior meeting. Do we have any corrections or additions?
I'm going to leave the approval as written.
Second.
Any further discussion? All the question, all in favor?
Aye.
Unfinished business. Letter to Craig Chandler.
Yes, this is the letter that we've been working on requesting the radar upgrades for the Ocala Tower. The letter was sent out July 11, 2011. Everyone should know by now that the current FAA authorization expired about a week ago. Lots of furloughs within the FAA. Not sure if anybody's on the receiving end of the letter right now, but there's a lot of stuff in question. Basically, the authority of the FAA to collect taxes and fund the projects expired is what it came down to last week. So far, it results in about $200 million lost revenue for airport airway improvements per week. And as of today, about $155 million has been lost in revenue that would otherwise go to projects and staff funding, things like that. So we're in a wait-and-see mode with that. This also affects our project TULIP, our American Fresh Farms, request to release property and sell it. There's nobody there to review the project. As soon as I get any news that's substantial, that Congress passed something, I'll forward along to the board.
Direct impact for me. Impacts. I think it was over, they're going to agree on authorization to close some smaller airports.
There were provisions that affected the essential air service grants at a number of airports within certain senators' districts or states. And there were some union provisions in the proposed House bill that the Senate didn't like, and it was just going back and forth. You know, I should add, while I was at the Florida Airport Conference about 2 weeks ago, they had the Associate Administrator of the FAA there to speak. This is before the appropriation package expired. I've never heard someone within the FAA, let alone a staff-level employee for any government agency, speak out so against Congress as the associate minister. It was an incredibly brave speech, but she essentially expressed zero confidence in Congress in passing any kind of legislation that would save the authorization at that time. And she further went on to chastise them for playing games. And well, she was right. Look where we are right now. But it was incredible to hear her speak out against what was going on in Washington, her employers, basically. But nonetheless, she did, and here we are today.
And the airlines are making $20 a day.
Yeah, about that. Some of them.
Yes,
some of them.
Okay.
This item is a continuation of our RFP that was issued. If you recall, we had three responses. responses, Landmark Aviation, Dunphy, and then Ocala Jet Center, ranked in that order. The review committee encouraged Landmark to work with Dunphy and vice versa. Landmark has agreed to work with Dunphy. We've had a couple meetings with them since our last airport board meeting, finalizing, I guess, or at least bringing to light the actual cost and other terms of of what the terminal construction agreement would end up being. One of the things that was tied to Landmark working with Dunphy, Landmark had agreed to lease 6,000 square feet within the 15,000 square foot terminal, but they also requested a lease extension from that. On the city side, we would rather a brand new lease rather than an extension of the current. We are drafting our terms to do that. We're going to work through it on the staff level and provide it to Landmark hopefully by next Monday. Give them about 10 to 14 days to review it and get something back on this end. If we get something back prior or significantly prior to the next month's airport board meeting, I will most likely call a special meeting of the airport board to kind of go over what the final proposal package will be. We had hoped to have something to provide to you now. We're just not there yet.
Okay. Any questions about old business? Unfinished business on here? All right, new business.
Guess it was about, well, I've got the letter here, June 30th, after a fuel survey, we sent Landmark Aviation a request to look at the fuel prices and justify their pricing again. On July 25th, a few days after a quarterly inspection, we sent a notice of violation letter out. Essentially, there were blanks in some of their paperwork and some of their inspection forms, we gave them 30 days to complete the building maintenance on Hangar 14. Coincidentally, the building maintenance was complete when we sent the letter out. We're waiting on electric certifications. I saw that they were out there today.
Yeah, they were out there today.
Okay.
You should hopefully have that. You know, whatever they say needs to be done, people get it done.
Okay. All right. The letter is a formality. Tracine and I were working on the building maintenance portion, and then the electric stuff. That's a formality too. It's a continuation from the previous default. So. Probably easily cured within 30-day time frame.
Probably in a week.
Okay, great. And on the tail end of that letter, which is provided, we reminded Landmark about the fuel price comparisons.
What do y'all intend to do about this request?
We're working on
a response. I can just say anecdotally, I plan to fly to Asheville and land in your facility up there, but due to weather below minimums, I diverted to Spartanburg, and there's a Stevens Aviation up there, beautiful facility. They were a full dollar less a gallon than you guys. It cost me more to come back. You know, I got a car, I think a car and my fuel for less than what it cost me to come back.
That's my stopping ground.
That's my stopping ground.
Yeah, beautiful FBO. So excellent service there. I don't know. You know, that's just my experience. When I come back home and I pay more back home than I paid, you know, strange land. Something's wrong there.
different locations, they honor the discounts that you get clear on what the prices are. So, I mean, we have a lot of people that go to Asheville. They just let me know every time. I just work something out.
I didn't make it to Asheville. I just, you know, landed at Spartanburg.
But if you're ever going to...
The other thing that surprised me, the car I reserved in Asheville was $67 a day and for a small car. And then in Stevens, they're a Hertz agent, and it was $25.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, being a Boyle Landmark person, I was going to do that, even though I know it was kind of high. I don't know what the gas is selling for in Asheville. It's just a note. Okay. What's next?
Minimum standards. The dreaded minimum standards. Over the past several years, I've presented various amendments and formats. Standards and in speaking with the city manager's office and the rest of the staff, we're presenting to the airport board again. Under our current FBO requirements, if you want to sell fuel on the airport, you need to also provide A&P services, avionics, aircraft rental, and flight instruction. The numbers that correspond to each of those services are acres, requirements in acres. Some of the oddball numbers there, I converted them from square feet to acres just to keep it all relative and comparable. And at the very bottom of that top chart, I broke it back out into square feet. So under the current standards, if you wanted to sell fuel in the airport, you need to provide those three services and the associated areas under land, building, ramp, and hangar. Total acres, 8.07 acres as land, just over half an acre in, or 26,000 square feet in buildings, 80,000 square feet in ramp space, and only 10,000 square feet in actual hangar space. For instance, under the A&P and under aircraft rental, our current standards don't require hangar space, but it's all combined in building. So you're assumed that you're going to build a hangar with associated offices of at least 0.34 acres for the A&P. This is how it's been for 23 years. This requirement. The requirement was initially put in place when the city drafted its RFP requesting an FBO for general aviation fuel and services at the Ocala Airport back in 1987. At the time, these services may or may not have been here, but that's what the city council or the airport board decided at the time. 23 years later, we're in a position where we've actually entertained solicited and unsolicited offers from other FBOs or people desiring to establish an FBO in the field. But for one reason or another, generally associated to the minimum standards requirement, they didn't follow through. The standards for our airport, in staff's opinion, are restrictive, are too restrictive, offers almost no flexibility for businesses to come onto the field, and pretty much guarantees that there won't be any competition when it comes to FBOs. So that being said, what staff is proposing to do is to amend the minimum standards for aircraft fueling services. If you want to fuel as an FBO, if you want to provide retail fueling services, you are required to provide three services out of this six. So three out of this, it's your choice. We're going to try and bring some flexibility and free market back into the Ocala Airport. It really doesn't change the total areas that much when you look at it. We aren't reducing services at the airport. I see it as expanding services.
Well, you know, I always try to think of the unintended consequences. That's how I approach anything. What are the unintended consequences of this? I would imagine, and I don't know the business model as well as fixing that, but anybody, fuel being the most lucrative, they're going to supply the cheapest alternative. You're going to jettison the more difficult and just. So what would you do as an FBO coming in here? What would you say you'll do? What are the cheapest things to provide and get the fuel?
Sales charge and rental.
Which one?
Sales charge and rental.
You forget the maintenance, because that's the most expensive, right? Sales, charter, and rental. So would you create the unintended consequence, just have a sham to get the fuel? And you guys would, if what's good for the goose is good for the gander, if this opened up, you would jettison the more expensive. You would supply that better. Probably. I mean, you take a good look at it and say, hey, why do maintenance if I can just do these three? I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. That's what they do, because that's what their competitors would do. And they wouldn't supply the maintenance if it's a loser. And they just do the minimum required, I guess, under the rental, sales, and charter. So what is the minimum? I mean, what would we get if we passed it? What would the airport look like?
So wouldn't market demand drive the maintenance also, though, Randy? I mean, if nobody's providing it, somebody's going
to
want
to. You'd have to depend on the market, because no one would be compelled to provide it. Mm-hmm. So the question is, is there enough business on the field to get maintenance, apart from the fact that they have to supply it?
Right.
Where's our maintenance guy? Okay? Mm-hmm.
Is there enough here to?
Yeah, to track you here, but for the fact that Landmark has to have it.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
There might be just enough here to keep in so they go on.
Well, that's what we have to consider. So what's the minimum age, what constitutes compliance with the charter? Charter, you would just get somebody, you'd sub that out. You'd sub that out to somebody. Sales, you just get a dealer license. Rental, you get a couple
airplanes. Yep. There are specific service requirements within each of those. Yeah. Charter, the aircraft would have to be based here.
Who supplies that for you? Is that Dean?
No, Dean does management.
All right, so
Landmark doesn't provide charter out of the Ocala Airport.
Okay, all right. That's part of our minimum. That's not part of our minimum. Not charter.
Flight school.
Aircraft rental and flight school are combined.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying no. That's one out of it.
The concern is the current models. I believe is causing Landmark to get all their cost recovery through the fuel prices, and that's really what's hurting operations.
What is cost? What is requiring the fuel prices to stay? What's running that?
Well, fuel is our main income. I mean, we don't make anything like we hold money on flight school right now. We held money on Henry. We lost a lot of money when he went out of business. We held a lot of money on him.
Perhaps let me jump into the fuel. one operations, to give you an idea of where we are. It might provide a bigger picture. You look at year-to-date totals, 329,000. We're still down 10%, 10.6%. On the month, down 16.2% compared to June of last year. Operations. There is no total yet. When you extrapolate it out, we're looking at 56,000 on the year. I'm sorry, 54,000 on the year. This is, these two graphs depict the fuel sales and airport operations. Fuel sales on the left in the red line, operations in the blue on the right. Everything including 2010 and prior were estimates by airport staff. They were educated estimates. But you could consider this probably plus or minus 10 to 15% on each of these numbers in error. In 2010, the last half of 2010, we had hard numbers. We extrapolated out to get this average, 56,000. Like you said, the last half of 2010, that was Air Traffic Control Tower providing numbers. And then this is what we're projecting for 2011, 54,000. Irregardless, the ops numbers and fuel sales are declining pretty good. You can blame a lot of it on the economy. But I think you have to look at some other factors as well. And you got to look at the fuel prices being charged by our sole FBO. This is a comparison of the surrounding airports. Pretty much the high ones are all within the major cities. Landmark Ocala is right up there. But what's really telling is when you look at the Shell branded fuel prices, and this is updated as of July 25th, Landmark's in the top four for both Jet A and Avgas. On the self-serve Avgas, we're right there in the middle. I think that's a great number for this airport, 550. I have no problems with the self-serve Avgas. Looking at the other numbers, I think there needs to be a lot of work on that, because that's telling. And when our surrounding airports have either full T-hangers or waiting lists on T-hangers, and we're running 20 vacancies, we can't rent our smallest hangers, 225 a unit per month. Probably one of the most affordable you could find. And we still have probably two, maybe three that are vacant. What's the total? 15 vacancies now. I'm faced with some increasing expenses in the future because of our decreasing operations. The FAA is probably going to pin us on $60,000 just to offset the tower operations. Congress is talking about aviation user fees again. They can't even get anything passed through Congress to operate the FAA. And meanwhile, we have one of the highest priced retail fuel prices in Florida, let alone Shell branded aviation. And honestly, when you look at the minimum standards, it provides false protection for our FBO. It prevents competition from coming in here. They don't have to worry about somebody coming in and offering up competition. But from a staff perspective, we have to make some changes in order to ensure some future competition, or at least let Landmark know that we're trying to do what's in the best interest of the airport and keep the airport afloat. If you read the article in the newspaper recently, it said that the carryover funding of the airport, our fund balance, had to be tapped $140,000 to offset next year's revenues. That's incorrect. We found errors in the budget. It goes back to finance, that'll get fixed. We're going to be back to even. We're not going to have to tap that. But we can't cut anymore. Our revenues are declining. Our tea hangers aren't full. Fuel sales keep declining. Our concession fees that we receive from Landmark Aviation are higher than what we get from the fuel sales. We get 3% off of their non-fuel sale concessions. And we get 3.5 cents per gallon for every gallon pumped. And we're getting more revenue from the concessions than we are the fuel sales. So from a staff perspective, we need to do something that'll ensure maybe future competition. Landmark's got 7 years remaining on their lease. If anything, making it more flexible for another outfit to come in here and compete with Landmark with 7 years remaining on their lease might not be a bad thing. The company may see that as an opportunity to take advantage of the low construction costs. We pumped over 1 million gallons previously. I know the airport can do it. The economy rebounds. We have competitive fuel pricing, not this lopsided fuel pricing. I think there's something to be seen for that.
Begs the question of why you have minimum standards at all.
You know, the minimum standards are established location specific. The FAA likes to see the minimum standards because it sets a level playing field for everyone. Insurance, levels of service, not service provided. You can establish when they operate. You can establish how many people you want to see at least in their business. You can establish the size of their business. I've seen airports with vastly different standards. Some of them have minimum service requirements. Some of them don't have it at all. Some of them, they require maybe 5 acres on the FBO and all other services, and some of them require 20 acres. It's all dependent upon what the airport wants. This airport 20 years ago wanted an AMP, avionics, aircraft flight instruction, and aircraft rental. And they tie that in with an FBO operation. I can't say what was here back 23 years ago, but they wanted to ensure that level of service. Well, the airport's grown since then. We've added about 1,000 linear feet to our runway. We've widened the ramp over 100 feet. We've installed a control tower. The city's put an extensive amount of money into building up the infrastructure. We're putting in a $4 million road on the west side. That hopefully will eventually offset some of the aviation costs, but we need to look at the future. We need to look at how we can ensure competitive aviation. You know, we can change the minimum standards to keep it real simple, or we can make it really strict. But the difference is you let the free market run it, or you...
What are the minimum standards in Leesburg? Do you have any idea?
I don't, but I can get that information.
Would you put the slide on that showed the minimum standards again? So are you proposing to take the acreage out of the minimum standards altogether?
Not at all.
Why?
No, I don't want to change those.
I see. All right. It's not on that second one, so I'm just wondering.
Well, it would have been difficult to total it.
I see.
Because, you know, if you're picking 3 out of 6, we have several different options to choose from.
current tenant deserves a consideration of being able to respond to it. That's probably the first that they've seen that, right? Yes. And also other vendors, yeah.
I don't like sticking my nose in this, but I've been on this dirt for a long time. And the reason why the minimum standard came out 23 years ago was primarily there was a facility that had government contracts for refueling on the south side of the airport, but it was outside the gate, outside the fence. And they were trying to get permission to fuel on the airport through the fence. And that's why the minimum standards came up. There was Eagles Rest down there where it's now a private...
helicopter.
Helicopter, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But because of the fact they had the government contract for refueling of government aircraft. The only ones they could refuel that the helicopter would land on their heliport. But they wanted to have permission to come out to the fence to supply fuel. And that's one of the reasons why the minimum standards were created.
Back then, that's probably the best way to accommodate that. Through the fence has always been a real contentious issue with the FAA. They just recently are doing an audit of all the through the fence operations. They have to be approved by the FAA. And basically, my understanding of it was if you wanted to build a hangar off the airport, and this is just one example, if you wanted to build a hangar off the airport and utilize the runways, you would have to essentially pay a fee that was comparable to what the tenants who actually had hangars on the airport were paying. But to fuel on the airport, I can see how the minimum standard back then would have to be established to regulate that, because it, although I don't understand why they would want to fuel on the airport if they could just fuel on their own leasehold.
Well,
it was a fixed-wing aircraft that couldn't get there.
Oh, I see.
It was a government contract where they could refuel
military
fixed-wing aircraft, which was on the airport, which cannot go to their facility because they couldn't handle the heliport.
Well, then if that's the case, if the minimum standards with these minimum requirements were established to keep through the fence operators off the airport, I believe that requirement is nullified with the FAA's, I guess, moratorium on through the fence operations at this time. And I can research that a little bit more and provide it to the board at the later meeting. It might be worthwhile to postpone any kind of a vote on this.
I'd like to know what minimum standards are of some surrounding facilities. Even Orlando Executive, some of the busier places that have more than one FTO, what they require.
Because the airports are so vastly different, can you define exactly what type of airport you want to compare it to? Because Williston's going to be a lot different than us.
What do you think is the best airport to compare with Ocala?
Leesburg is similar.
How would you say Leesburg?
Leesburg is probably the most similar to us. Within 100 miles.
Well, we definitely like to see.
How about St. Augustine?
We can. The city has a self-serve tank up there. We can look at it.
Make sure you show up the minimum standards for Leesburg.
I've got that. Okay. I'll take a look at St. Augustine.
To me, the most natural.
You know what? I'm sorry, Jerry. Hernando Airport was voted General Aviation Airport of the Year 2 weeks ago. In fact, I think I already have their standards. I'll be able to compare that as well. I think that might be a good comparison. And they actually have two FBOs there and no control tower.
Get that out. Email that for discussion next month, along with the
concerns if Landmark truly is, they're holding paper on the example of flight school, their fixed costs, their operating costs are fixed, so they have no choice but to drive that through the fuel revenues to make up that difference. And in essence, all of the operators at the airport are subsidizing a business that is failing at the airport. So it has a direct bearing on everybody.
All right. Okay. Any further discussion about that?
Okay, AIP 22, that's the airfield lighting and signage project. The walkthrough is next week. Wayne briefed me earlier. He said that they threw the switch and they're tracking down some shorts right now, but are confident that they're going to work tonight. There's a burn-in procedure that's scheduled. They have to leave all the lights on high for 72 hours, all throughout the day and the night. So we'll post the appropriate NOTAM for that. You won't be able to dim the lights at night. It'll be set on high, but it's required that they need to burn them in, so to speak. But we're happy to say that project is coming to a completion very shortly. The security project, the contracts have been signed, purchase order sent. Basically, we're just waiting on parts to come in, so we're excited about getting that one underway. And Southwest 67th Avenue is progressing nicely. We're still looking for a completion in November of 2011. We discussed fuel and operations. As far as the development update, I briefly mentioned Project Tulip with American Fresh Farms. The initial request to the FAA was made about 60 days ago. They commented favorably on that request, but withheld any kind of a formal letter until they finalized the review of the construction documents for American Fresh Farms. They didn't want to approve one without the other. We got a list of what was required of American Fresh Farms late yesterday. I received it. Just have to upload it into the FAA system and wait for Congress to appropriate them to come back. So unfortunately, we're on hold with that review. Based on my initial review of the submittal documents, I don't think there's going to be an issue with the construction review. It might take another 30 days after the FAA comes back in. Might require an on-site visit, or at least us going down there and discussing the project with them.
How are things going with AFF otherwise? I know they had other things that had to be done, and are they still there?
I believe they signed the contract.
We have an executed contract, and we're just waiting for FAA approval. That's the last.
Oh, so the state came through, or they think it's going to come through with what they felt like they needed?
That issue has not been completely resolved, but they're proceeding anyways without that.
And I'm assuming the December 31st deadline is, I guess, pretty, as far as Burlington is.
Yes. Yeah. They're planning for next year.
Right. And then lastly, in front of you,
did we pass it?
No, they're right here. Oh, they're right there. We'd like to get the board's thumbs up or thumbs down on those options. Those are our industrial park signs.
There's different scenarios.
OBP looks like a C.
Okay.
CB, it looks like a CBP.
That was the logo that was chosen by the city council.
Well, we want it to look like CBP.
Well, but luckily, right next to it, it's got no calculations bar. But.
I mean, if you're looking at the logo, it looks like CB.
two entrances, two signs on 38, one in each direction, and then the center sign installed at the State Road 40 entrance to 67.
I like the one that looks like an airplane here.
That's the one I like. The tall one, that one?
No, yeah. Okay. Vertical tail.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's the best.
From the designer.
Yeah.
That's the most unique. What do you think about the LED booth?
Well, it should look a little like a... it's, you know, we didn't decide.
Well, I know. So, I mean...
Inside of the hole, is that a tomato?
It's a globe.
It's very similar to this right up here.
Well, maybe they can move it over a little bit so you can see the...
Yeah.
I think it needs to be over. So it looks more like an O than a C. You know, like, I think that's just the difference of where they place that B there.
It's a lot cleaner on your logo, Matt. The O, and he's right on that with timber of the tail.
It's a lot cleaner on the...
On your logo, where the O is up.
Yeah, that you can tell is an O.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one, if it looks like that, that would be... My suggestion.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, there is no question that's enough.
Where would this be?
Two of them would be located bidirectionally on 38 at the entrance to 67.
Here are the plans for it. This is 38th Street on the south end of the airport. Here are your two sign locations. And then this is on the north end, actually, I'm sorry. If you can see this, this is State Road 40 on the north end. This is 38 on the south end. So you'll have two signs down here and one on 40 right in the median.
Yeah, at this time we have inadequate right-of-way on up of State Road 40 to provide two signs. That's why it's going with a center island.
Double-sided.
Double-sided sign.
Double-sided.
I like what it looks like. It looks like a jet tail.
It's a good visual link to the airport. And most likely that would be in the aluminized version, even on the jet tail with the blue panels, not the blue sign like that.
Yeah, I like that one. Is that the consensus of the board?
With a more defined O?
With a more defined O.
Okay.
Move it over slightly. It looked like a C. Okay. We have a vote.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
No, you got it.
Which one did we vote for?
The one that looks like a
taller tail.
This one. The one that looks like an airplane tail.
There it is.
That one.
We did. I rescind my vote.
Do you like it?
No, I like the standard conventional one. Long and flat, but it ain't going to blow over when we have a hurricane.
Okay. Boring.
Boring, huh?
Boring.
Well, anybody drives a little car, you got to be
I'm not bored. I'm whimsical. Okay. All right.
Wait, well, thanks for standing in the front there.
Very votes no. Okay, what's next?
Would you take that blue stripe?
That concludes my presentation.
Would you take that blue stripe that goes through the old, what the hell is that for?
It's supposed to be a swish with an airplane. Like that. Well, ours, the airport logo's got the airplane. The business park will not. On the typewriter.
Just got a contract.
Right.
Well, that I like.
That we will prove.
That one will be.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
That other one slices the blue, slices right through the middle, and it destroys what you think is an O. You don't really picture it, and the B becomes very prominent.
I agree.
You're right. Like the contrail.
The logo is also printed on this poster over here, bottom right hand corner. The O is a little bit more defined on that background.
Okay.
I guess perhaps maybe it all depends on the actual background. But I'll express the comments and perhaps or something.
A couple
tomato vines.
I don't like the tomato program.
Yeah.
As you can tell. Mm-hmm. I'm the only individual on this board that does not like the tomato program.
It's either going to be a smashing success or a failure, and then it'll be a moot point. I mean, I don't think none of us are willing to go to battle over that sign, but
I agree. I think, you know, a business is going to care. As long as
it's
just clean and kept up.
Any of them are okay.
Are they on the, is that American Fresh Farms, are they on the board?
Are they on the stock exchange?
No. You're saying, or
what board?
City Council?
No.
Board.
I'm sorry. The what am I trying to say?
Stock exchange.
Stock exchange.
No, yeah, they just won.
They just won. They're nothing at this point. Except they were there.
Their name.
All right. Are they not?
They're not.
No.
They're only as good as the financing they can get from gifts that. Okay, what else?
That concludes my presentation.
Okay. How about the audience, Bert? Tower?
Well, everything seems to be going all right. We feel very fortunate. We had no real problem with the construction. A few delays, not enough to get worked up over. We have heard some response on some action on Congressman Stern's inquiry over the requirements for the radar. And,
yeah, tell us. Do tell.
Well, you know, hey, anytime a congressman asks, they're going to answer. And usually, it all depends on how it's done. What we found pretty much right now is that I got an email here that I just got this week. It says the STARS TDW, which is the radar display in the tower cap, takes 30,000 annual itinerant operations. And if we look from June to June, we'd have 35,636. So, you know, we're in the criteria for the STARS, which is a good one. The FIDO, the flight data input operating device, most people, if you're not in the tower working, it's not a big deal. I mean, you know, it helps the pilot. It's kind of transparent to them. So they receive the same service. We just have to work hard to do it. And it requires 12,000 annual itinerant IFR operations, which we don't have that.
Okay.
And I think eventually, you know, we would come by it, but it's hard for a VFR tower like this to really meet that criteria, because you have days where you have such small amount. You know, you got to average like 28 of those operations a day, itinerant IFR. Now, some days you don't have close to that. Then you got to average 40 or a couple of days, we don't have that. But the STARS is the big one, and I think we will be on the waterfall with it. Just a question of time. Nobody knows what's going on there. It's like, you know, there's money. The good news on the AWOS, I say good news, is they spoke with the guy that's in the terminal requirements branch, and the request to allow the telephone to broadcast the AWOS while the Ocala tower is open. So to verify that it is a prohibited to have two or more weather broadcasts at the same time, but that the tower manager at Ocala can make a request to add the remarks section. And if it's not an official weather broadcast, and then they will run that up the chain to see if they can get that approved, which is really what we've been saying.
Yeah.
Just the bad news there is I played with that thing this morning, and it's not working real well. And I think that's a maintenance problem. You get FAA. Come in and check out the mark section on the AWOS. Oh, that does a good chance. It's it's moving in the right direction, just slow.
Good.
Hell, man, we're doing pretty good.
Well, those are both encouraging, particularly the radar.
Well, that's, you know, I mean, that's the, that's probably the most critical. Like I said, the other part is nice, but you operate pretty much the same data. Radar is a big thing.
We're still here.
Need more work. Huh?
Oh, yeah. It was very quiet the last couple of months, really. People just aren't spending money.
Mr. B, how's it going?
Things are starting to pick up, and must have known that the old people aren't here anymore. Walking in and seeing the place has changed a bit. We got a few planes in here. Things are looking good. Mm-hmm. It's going the right direction anyway.
What are you doing to let people know you're under new management?
Right now it's mostly word of mouth and the Empire down.
You have a website, right?
We do.
I'll make sure that we have a link on our...
I think we talked to you about that. We're on FlightAware, so you can get a little bit of that.
It says under new ownership.
Yeah, the new name. It doesn't say under new management, though.
I would.
Yeah.
My suggestion.
I hope the new name would make a difference, but...
Well, they don't know this. Let's not...
Yes.
The name of the same owner.
Yes.
Have you seen any things?
No.
Anything from staff? City staff?
No, thank you.
Appreciate it. Anything from the board members?
No.
Matt, anything else?
Just that our airport website's up in live, ocalaairport.com. A lot of good information on it. I encourage everyone to take a look. If you see any issues with it, any inconsistencies, broken links, please call me and let me know.
We need a cub coming in there. We'll have to.
Tell me when you're going to fly it. We'll do a photo shoot. We'll do a photo shoot, Randy.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I guess I would like to say I'm transferring to Miami. This is my last week here.
Wow. Where are you going?
Landmark Miami International Airport.
Wow.
Great place.
What a change.
Much busier, I would imagine.
It's a little bit busier than
okay. You have family down there in Miami?
Actually, my mother still lives down there. My brother, so.
Yeah. That's why I'm
a big deal.
Still in my blood. All right. Motion to adjourn.
So much. So
move. Okay.